Remember when vaccine mandates for healthcare workers were first talked about and many of those workers warned there'd be this mass exodus of those essential frontline workers? Now that those mandates are here, what's the reality? Well, I got some examples. Well, your RWJ Barnabas fired 118 employees, which is less than 1% of its 35,000 member workforce across their 15 hospitals, 33 outpatient centers, and dozens of other facilities. 120 staffers at Virtua Health, quote, elected to discontinue their employment at their five South Jersey hospitals. Well, there are other centers that's about 1% of their employees, too. Most major hospitals here in New Jersey have put in place vaccine policies that are actually more strict than Governor Murphy's executive order, which allows unvaccinated healthcare workers to keep the jobs as long as they get tested for COVID at least once a week. Next up, state's other large health system, Hackensack Meridian Health, which has an employee deadline of November 15th. Number of employees let go will also pretty much be small. Network reported this month more than 99% of their 36,000 employees either are fully vaccinated or have at least gotten their first shot. Other hospitals, some long-term care facilities, also reported a sizable uptick in vaccinations after the mandates were put into place. RWJ Barnabas spokeswoman Linda Kamata said managers had anticipated some staff would not be in compliance, so they began recruiting to fill the positions. Of the 118 that were let go, 62 were per diem employees who worked occasional shifts across the network. So that mass exodus the anti-vaxxers threatened with, well, pretty much was just that, wasn't it? Empty threat. And it's not just healthcare facilities either. Same warning was made about the Chicago police. The reality? Well, at least so far, only 21 cops put on unpaid leave for refusing to get the shot. Moving over to the schools here in New Jersey, all pre-K to 12 public and private school personnel were required to be fully vaccinated by this past Monday or be subject to at least one COVID-19 test a week. Same policy took effect also this past Monday for 70,000 state government workers, which includes the state police. By the way, that's less strict than what's been happening in New York City, where Mayor Bill de Blasio said this past Wednesday all city workers, including police and firefighters, would be required to have received at least one shot by October 29th or be placed on indefinite leave with no pay. It's pretty much similar to one enacted by the city back in September for all healthcare workers and school personnel. More than 43,000 doses have been administered to city school staff since that mandate was announced, so that drove the vaccination rate up to 95%. Why the difference? Well, because Phil Murphy is running for re-election, de Blasio is not. State officials said they didn't know yet how many state workers have been vaccinated. They were asked about this past Wednesday. Almost 5.8 million New Jerseyans are fully vaccinated. That's about 63% of the state's 9.2 million residents. That's one of the highest rates in the country. Murphy also announced an executive order this past Wednesday that will require companies who want to do work for the state to ensure their workers are fully vaccinated for COVID-19, or be subject to regular weekly testing. That includes anyone seeking highway construction or repair contracts. There's a mandate, an incentive. Any worker who could show a medical or religious objection to vaccines can opt out of being vaccinated. That comes under federal guidelines. Now, there's been no mandate for students to get vaccinated, but if more parents like this guy throw tantrums, well, that might change. Let me introduce you to John Worley, father of a Beechwood Elementary School student who had close contact with someone who tested positive for COVID-19. Daddy initially refused to take Sonny Boy home to continue classes while quarantining and started to cop an attitude and shout at school staff after being called by the school nurse. Worley eventually did take his son home from school after being told by the police school resource officer that the Division of Child Protection and Permanency would have to be notified if he didn't take the kid out of the school. This all came about when Worley, whom police described as, quote, irate, came to the school after being called by the nurse. His son had been in close contact, as I said, with another student, tested positive for COVID-19. So the rule is he has to quarantine while continuing classes virtually. That's what the nurse told the dad. Worley instead told the nurse he was not going to take the boy home, but would stop by the building to get some answers, which he did by following contractors into the building after they were buzzed into the school. Yeah, schools sort of have a little security process in place. So Worley added to his little list of things not to do by dodging around school security. And once inside, that's when he started throwing his tantrum at employees, saying he wasn't going to sign his kid out from school. Classes were in session by the time, so a lot of people got to hear Mr. Worley do his thing. In case you're wondering, to Beechwood Elementary, that's part of the Toms River Regional School District. That's where 561 students and 16 staff members have been quarantined. They say 271 students, 36 staff members have been tested positive for COVID-19 since the start of the school year. Not all those cases are active. And through the first several weeks of the school year, this is according to state numbers, at least 126 in-school outbreaks have happened for a total of 658 cases. This is as of this past Wednesday. That's an increase of 137 total cases from the previous week. The state defines, by the way, in-school outbreaks as three or more cases that are determined through contact tracing to have been transmitted between staff or students while they're at school. It doesn't include total cases among staffs and students. But getting back to Mr. Worley and his tirade over having to take his son out of school because of COVID-19, let's compare that attitude with that of Nicole Sperry from Virginia, who lost her 10-year-old daughter, Teresa, to the virus, spoke before a school board and continues to speak out against dismissal of science and common sense when it comes to COVID-19.
COVID is not over. No matter what people who have been standing up here have said, when they were sharing this information, their opinions, the fact was, I was sitting next to my healthy daughter's deathbed. She died 5 days after showing symptoms.
Turns out that the school district Teresa attended school in, the Chesapeake School District, has a policy where every class has a designated class nurse, a student who walks any kids who get sick down to the nurse's office, which Teresa was called on to do. So question becomes, did Teresa get the COVID virus from that other kid she walked with? Well, we don't know that yet. Chesapeake, Virginia School District has had numerous other COVID cases as well, which I guess explains why they're pondering a policy change. Right, an end to face masks in classrooms. Then there's Brevard County, Florida school board member Jennifer Jenkins, who supports school mask mandates. Here she is offering a view of what her life has been like.
In spite of what people believe, I am not opposed to people practicing their First Amendment rights, even when it's outside of my home on a public property. I'm not. I think it's a silly method. I think it's ineffective. It doesn't move me or motivate me in any way, but I'm not opposed to it. What I reject is this effort to create fear and division in the community that leads to credible threats of violence against me and my family. And there's a lot of things that I haven't shared with all of you up here. I've tried not to talk about this stuff publicly. I don't reject people coming here and speaking their voice. They do it all the time. We don't stop them from doing that. I don't reject them standing outside my home. I reject them following me around in a car, following my car around. I reject them saying that they're coming for me, that I need to beg for mercy. I reject that when they are using their First Amendment rights on public property, they're also going behind my home and brandishing their weapons to my neighbors, that they're making false DCF claims against me to my daughter, that I have to take a DCF investigator to her playdate to go underneath her clothing and check for burn marks. That's what I'm against, which is a credible threat and calculated.
Absolutely incredible.